Changers Live. This is your host, Dennis Trionos of the Trionos Group. Today I'm joined by Barry Fleming. Barry is the founder of DharmaBuild, a services and solutions provider in the data insights area. Prior to forming DharmaBuild over 8 years ago, Barry was the director of customer engagement at Doremus Advertising. Earlier in his career, Barry served as the director of digital analytics and marketing integration at Acceleration, a well-regarded marketing technology integration company, and he held several senior roles at social media agencies such as WCG, The Barbarian Group, and the Nielsen Companies. Barry, thank you for coming here today to talk about the topic that's on everyone's mind, big data.
Thanks for having me, Dennis. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Barry, before we get into the core of our discussion, tell us a little bit more about DharmaBuild and what kinds of clients you serve and what you do for them.
Sure. Well, it's an interesting story, but DharmaBuild is a specialized digital research and innovation advisory, and it kind of grew out of or evolved out of SEO and digital analytics technical implementation consulting. It's a novel business model. It's a consulting services entity based upon the idea of, you know, on-demand advertising and marketing services, which is kind of where I believe the advertising industry is going. I think the AOR model or the agency of record model is kind of going the way of the dinosaur. But what makes us novel is DharmaBuild assembles, you know, big and social data technology services startups on an as-needed basis to serve the strategic interests of clients, you know, trying to harness the power of big and social data and apply it to their own business challenges. You know, in this kind of novel business model, this consortium, I represent several CEOs as a consulting director and in business development. And I'll go ahead and mention my strategic partners. I've got several, Aditya Gwalawala of Maven Magnet, Christopher Skinner of MakeBuzz, Chase McMichael of Infinigraph, Marshall Sponder of Webmetrics Guru, Alex Sherman of Spotfront, and Claude Tiret of Nixology and Veronix. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, our whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and we serve a wide range of clients, anywhere from consumer electronics OEMs to pharma to financial services to CPG or consumer packaged goods or fashion and luxury lifestyle brands and those types of things. But what we really do, when it gets right down to it, is we provide what I like to call strategic lenses for different ways of interpreting, you know, big and social data, and a lot of the parlance that your listeners will understand is we do this for engagement intelligence, for brand and product thematic intelligence, for audience intelligence, for sales and profit intelligence, and for targeting intelligence without the reliance upon cookie data or DMP or data management platform technologies. And we work, you know, with agencies as well as directly with brands. And, you know, it's about helping them make sense of the logistics of big data and the insights development from their data. And we're more cost-effective and nimble than working with usually the big four holding company agencies or the big five consulting firms or the top market research entities.
So why did you name it DharmaBuild? We never talked about that, so this is going to be new to me as well.
Well, it is several years old, and you know, way back about, you know, 8, 9, 10 years ago, you know, I was thinking about, you know, what was going to be my shingles, you know, kind of moniker, and you know, kind of playing with all the different types of naming conventions, whatnot. But I really wanted it to kind of, you know, speak to, you know, who I am as an individual and kind of like what my ethos is. And DharmaBuild was really about this idea of, in the Buddhist philosophy of right action, also Hindu, and pretty much, you know, across the board in terms of all the ancient cultures. And, you know, Dharma meaning right action, I thought, well, you know, it would be nice to have a company built upon right action. That's when it kind of clicked, DharmaBuild. And so that's kind of how it came about.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm glad I asked the question. So big data, how is this big data revolution impacted organizations today?
Oh, yes, that's the that's the $20,000 question, right? It's funny, you know, because we've been talking about big data for years, and it's just within the last, you know, several years that the terminology has actually been coined and kind of tossed around and glamorized and hyped and to a certain degree, I mean, it's certainly warranted, but you know, big data. When I think about big data, I think about you know, Visa and MasterCard, you know, 20 years ago with having the ability to swipe a card on the other side of the world and having that transaction processed and validated, you know, in seconds. And so, you know, this is an example of like someone being in the cloud 20 years ago, but it's also, you know, the ability to kind of like harness, large amounts of data and basically act upon that data in almost real time. But, I mean, people's eyes do glaze over when it comes to, you know, the terminology big data. But I think everyone agrees that the combination of machine data or exhaust data, you know, it's also kind of called the Internet of Things, business intelligence data, digital analytics data, publicly available data, and social data. That's what, you know, the combination of all that is what most people consider big data. And the impact of that on the traditional business hierarchies and silos, for that matter, is they're rapidly converging or being forced to rapidly converge, because in order to take advantage of all that data, you have to be able to mash it up. You have to be able to kind of, you know, translate it and layer it and map it. And, you know, these are typically, you know, traditionally disparate silos within an enterprise. And the convergence that's being forced upon them is, you know, basically being created by this idea that, well, we need access to the data no matter where I sit in the enterprise. You know, if I sit in finance, I need to have access to CRM data. If I sit in business intelligence, I need to have access to ERP data. If I, you know, it goes on and on and on. So, you know, data that sits in one business silo must be, you know, it's imperative that it be accessible by all lines of business of the enterprise in order to be leveraged effectively, you know, because we live in a very highly competitive marketplace and world now. There are challenges around that. One of the main challenges is data governance and logistics, you know, which is traditionally an IT endeavor. And the other is the insights development from all this data or the return on the investment of analyzing this data. And these are endeavors that are specific to the various lines of business. And this is kind of where DharmaBuilt kind of sits in between, which is that the traditional, like, IT business analyst kind of, situation within an organization. And then, you know, all the various consumers of that information or insights within the enterprise, whether it be MarCom, you know, PR, advertising, marketing, customer care, product development, those types of things.
I want to drill down a little bit on this because as I was going through some of the materials in preparation for this meeting here today or this interview, it felt like your expertise is at the intersection of marketing and IT, yet data management has traditionally come under the purview of IT and business intelligence. Talk a little bit more about why in today's very complex environment that corporate leaders can get more effective insight into the data when they have this hybrid approach.
Sure. It's interesting because I was, you know, I'm always scanning, like we all are these days, you know, scanning the headlines and looking for something relevant to us. And there was an article, I think, in Marketing Professionals, not too long ago, within the last several days, and they basically took a survey of a lot of executives that went to the DMA conference, the annual conference. Mm-hmm. And they were talking to them about, you know, big data, you know, barriers, budgets, and opportunities. And I think they surveyed about 400 execs, and they talked about, you know, what are the challenges, you know, and you know, basically what it comes down to is, you know, again, I'm not going to be the first and the last to advocate for like a chief data officer or chief analytics officer, and a lot of these, you know, individuals already exist, you know, particularly within, you know, finance and insurance, but for everyone else, there's this huge problem with budget limitations and lack of data cleanliness and limited tools and technology and fragmented systems. I talk about it in terms of silos. But I'll even go a little bit further based upon, I mean, this is all based upon experience, but what I've really noticed within the last few years and had, you know, personal experience with and challenges in dealing with it is most organizations, without having that executive-level mandate in terms of data governance, and I kind of call data like, you know, a business currency in and of itself, they run into a problem where, you know, let's say the CMO wants to implement, you know, marketing automation or real-time marketing or remarketing or retargeting. And this is really a big data kind of endeavor, right? You know, so I'm taking advantage of digital analytics, clickstream behaviors. You know, I want to be able to personalize my messages to people, whether it's via email or whether it's via, you know, some type of media. And so I need to kind of combine these technologies and these data sources to take advantage of it, you know, in conjunction with content management systems and these kinds of things. So what we end up really quickly running into a problem with, and again, this is kind of where Dharma Built sits, is a lot of times I'm dealing, you know, in a, you know, particularly from the agency world, dealing in the realm of operating expenses or OPEX. Big data is kind of the situation where if you really want to kind of start to move towards like a, you know, an enterprise service bus. In other words, you know, all your data within enterprise is available to anybody, you know, based upon credentials and those types of things. It ends up being a capital expense challenge. And in many organizations simply do not have, you know, that type of budget to kind of throw around without having a really pragmatic strategic roadmap to reach, you know, certain you know, waypoints or certain objectives. So, you know, in terms of developing strategic insights, whether it be the CMO or whatnot, they're kind of stuck in the realm of operating expense. And so, you know, someone like myself comes in with a team and we work within the realm of collecting, you know, the data, filtering the data, cleaning the data, segmenting the data, you know, generating strategic insights from the data. And this is something that can be done within the realm of an operating expense. But the minute that an organization, you know, aside from the finance organization or the insurance organization like I was talking about earlier, the minute they want to move into being able to do this in-house, it becomes an infrastructure issue. You know, I like to say that Dharmaville does insights as a service, so IaaS, whereas the traditional IaaS is infrastructure as a service. Mm-hmm. And that puts you in the realm of dealing with IBM and Oracle, sure, and Salesforce.com and these types of players. And that's a significant investment. And many organizations, unless you're in the F1000, right, can't, you know, kind of push around the likes of an IBM or an Oracle to kind of get exactly what they want in kind of a customer or a bespoke situation, you know, and to make that investment work for them in the near term and be, you know, cost effective.
Absolutely. We're up against a break right here, Barry, so I'm going to capture a soundbite that you threw out, which is data is a business currency. So right after the break, that's what I'm going to start with. And we'll be joined by Barry Fleming right after the break. You've been listening to this special edition of Game Changers Live. Game Changers Live is sponsored by the Trianos Group, excellence in retained executive search in the marketing arena. Barry, welcome back. Before the break, you talked about data being a business currency. Spend a few minutes on that, and then we'll go through a couple of other issues that are probably on the minds of some of our listeners.
Sure. Yeah, well, I mean, the lifeblood of any organization is going to be whether it be a customer list or a prospect list or, you know, sales data specific to, you know, a DMA or a region. And data is the underlying, you know, kind of lifeblood of an organization. So I like to call it the data is the business currency, or data is a business currency. And, you know, you can kind of think of, you know, I've got pocket change in this silo over here. I've got pocket change in this department over here. You know, but to really kind of elevate that currency into like a single kind of repository is a very challenging endeavor in this day and age, and it requires a significant investment, you know, capital expense budgets I talked about, infrastructure, you know, technology, skills, software, these types of things, cloud services in a lot of cases. So how do like the SMBs and the medium-sized organizations, how do they access this that a lot of the F-100s can? Well, they can go about it in a way that, kind of takes advantage of kind of what we've got in the marketplace now, you know, this startup culture that we've developed over the last 10 years or so since the emergence of the commercial web allows for organizations to kind of tap into, you know, some pretty amazing, technologies as well as individuals that built these technologies and that are much more nimble than the traditional kind of players in the space. And so what DharmaBuild does is assemble these technologies, you know, and they tend to be like early to mid to late stage startups. But, you know, what we do is we bring them together on a bespoke or a customized fashion for, you know, any particular client, any line of business within that particular organization or an agency for that matter. And that allows them to take advantage of, you know, this type of commodity, if you will, so that they are able to access the same level of sophistication in terms of tools and technologies as the much bigger players.
Well, let's talk about platforms for a second, because most of us are now familiar with cloud computing and the software as a service model. Your company refers to something, or you refer to something that you call the data as a service model or insights as a service model. Talk for a minute about that offering, if you would.
Yeah, sure. So what we have in terms of the social web and publicly available data and second-party data, whether it be affiliate or channel partners and syndicated data, is there's a lot of data now that exists outside the enterprise or outside the firewall, I like to say. So, the specialists, whether it be middleware software applications or individuals with the particular skill set necessary to do this type of work, in terms of bringing that data that's outside the enterprise firewall and whether either bring it into the firewall or basically just mashing it up with the data, you know, in some kind of middleware appliance or a process or framework that exists outside the firewall but it's still in a secure environment, allows for some pretty innovative insights to be developed. And so, you know, what data as a service is really, my strategic partners, you know, they have their own strategic partners as well. And, you know, I think everyone on the call would probably understand, like, you know, they deal a lot with, you know, the full fire hoses, whether they be from GNIP or DataSift, you know, the Twitter fire hose or, you know, the fire hose of Tumblr or whatever the case may be. And, you know, what that allows them to do is to filter, clean, segment the data, you know, that's relevant to this particular instance, you know, for a particular client or a particular project, and then start to create, you know, kind of the translation, if you will, or the mapping protocols, if you will, to the data that is first party or the data that exists within the client,
right,
or the data that belongs to the client. And a lot of times that's, you know, first party sales data or customer data.
Before we run out of time, I want to touch on a very, very critical topic, and that's one of privacy. Cookies have historically evolved to form the foundation of web-based research and analytics. With privacy becoming a huge issue today, these cookies may fundamentally be either changed or eliminated. Now, in your view, how will advertisers and marketing firms gain insight about their customers in a world that has a heightened sensitivity to privacy issues?
That's a great question, Dennis. You know, and I think everyone's aware of, you know, the revelations by Edward Snowden and the NSA, and this really brings to bear this whole kind of privacy issue, you know, right to the forefront of nearly everyone, and as it should be. I mean, you know, personally identifiable information is a huge concern, as it should be. And so, you know, much of the technology that all our media, you know, kind of tracking and targeting capabilities, particularly in the web and digital, has been based upon cookie technology or ISP-level data technology. If you take that away, say, you know, do not track is pushed through the legislature and is enacted into law, and all of a sudden, you know, we can no longer collect cookie data, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be, set back on their heels. I mean, you know, a lot of the targeting and data management platforms rely upon this, you know, to kind of build their audience segments and their persona profiles. So if you take that away, how do you then, you know, start to develop strategic insights into your audience, into your customers, into your prospects, into, you know, geo-specific, you know, areas that there may be, you know, surround a particular event or whatever the case may be. And how you do that is, you know, basically looking at, you know, big data, social data, publicly available data to start to paint the you know, it's actually you can paint a much more vivid picture of those segments than relying upon cookie data or a DMP technology to do this for you. And so what that does, it allows you to, you know, basically anonymously crowdsource information about your prospects, about your targets, in a very uninvasive way, because you are not collecting, you know, PID or PII and taking advantage of that. You're basically building like look-alike models or personas that you can then say, well, if I had a sale that took place in this particular region or zip code, and this is the persona that looks like that particular sale, but this persona sits over in this zip code, maybe it makes sense for me to then retarget my media, you know, that saturates this place where the sales take place over here, where there's a much higher propensity for sales to take place, or, you know, a much better chance of basically increasing profit by targeting over here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, I think the clock has been our enemy on this particular episode of Game Changers Live, but I am going to focus on perhaps inviting you back to talk about some of these issues in a little bit more detail, and I have a feeling we've only scratched the surface with some of the areas that you and your company focuses on. Barry, thank you for spending time with us on Game Changers Live. This has been a special edition of Big Data on Game Changers Live. Today we heard from Barry Fleming of the Dharma Built Company. Until next time, this is Dennis Trionos for Game Changers Live.